everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. So here is a question for you as we set up today's conversation. Even though you have trials in your life, do you ever find yourself dealing with blessing guilt? Do you know what I mean? Do you ever, even though you battle, do you just kind of diminish the blessings of God in your life because you feel bad because other people are struggling so much more, especially when you read the headlines or consider how many people suffer? Do you ask yourself, is it actually okay to enjoy this life? Well, today my guest is Trillia Newbell, and she joins us to explain how we can find the freedom to delight daily in God's good gifts. We'll be unpacking her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. And I just think this message is going to be like a cup of cool water, maybe a taste of springtime for you. We've got 5 copies, so grateful to Multnomah for being generous with their copies. So at any point, I'm not taking calls today, but at any point, if you want to get in on the drawing, just email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put enjoy somewhere in that email so I know this is the book that you're looking for. Just a couple quick announcements before we get Trillia on. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to you, our dear listener. This is a listener-supported ministry, and Faith Radio is growing by leaps and bounds, in numbers of listeners, growing by leaps and bounds in the fruit that's coming out of people's lives, and even our sphere. We've got signals popping up here and there and everywhere, and we just want to say thank you, because this fruit is your fruit. And want to say a special welcome to new family members. Maybe you're listening in 1290 AM in Hartford or 94.1 FM in West Hartford, Connecticut. We love you. Glad to be part of the family with you. Or maybe 93.1 FM in Waterloo or 104.7 FM in Madison or maybe 90.7 FM in Twin Cities or streaming online on our app or just streaming online, listening in on your computer. If you're new to the Faith Radio family, I would love to hear from you. Email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, and include your mailing address because I always pick a few names from our new listeners and send you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Also, if you're traveling this spring, take us with you, especially if you're going somewhere warm. Love to do that. We've got a Faith Radio app that's free. You can live stream Faith Radio anywhere you go in the world. You can catch podcasts after the fact. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. All right, now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Trillia Newbell is a gifted speaker. She regularly speaks about femininity, the church, theology, and diversity to women in the United States and around the world. She's the director of community outreach for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. She's married to her best friend, Thurn, and they reside with their 2 children near Nashville, Tennessee. Dear Trillia, so nice to meet you and welcome to the program.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation, Trillia, and we love to start our conversations every single day talking scripture. Just if there's just a verse that God's been speaking to you about, and love the passage you chose, Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Beautiful. Talk to us about that passage.
Yes. So often we can go searching for fulfillment or joy all over the place, and we're actually going to be talking about God's good gifts today, but ultimately his gift is himself, and in his presence and right with him, there is fullness of joy. And to think that one day we will be with him forever, rejoicing and learning about him, fullness of joy. So that scripture just reminds me that there's peace when I'm setting my mind and thoughts on the things of the Lord and on him himself and his character and his goodness to me. So it's just a good reminder where my peace comes from.
Mm, beautiful. Well, you open the book with the story about purchasing a road bike, and I'll have you know I'm a cyclist too, so my heart started to pitter-patter, and I'm like, oh, good, she's getting a bike. And I loved your story about how you felt the need to make it count for a greater purpose. And we'll unpack, of course, that's not a bad thing if you're called to it, but it shows this underlying obligation that we constantly live with. So tell that story, if you would.
Yes. Yeah, so I am, I love cycling, and it's so fun to hear that you do too. And but I got introduced to it by a friend, and cycling, as you know, is quite the investment. It's not like just grabbing a bike. You have to buy shorts and a helmet. And I found myself feeling a little guilty. And so I did have a real desire to do a fundraiser and to help there absolutely that there was a desire there. But underneath it, I realized that it also helped me justify in my own heart this leisurely activity instead of just enjoying and delighting in the God's creation and enjoying the freedom of rest. I felt like I needed to justify cycling and exercise. There's so many benefits to cycling. And so I developed something that, again, I really did have a desire to do, but underneath it, I realized I was not honoring God in any way, really, because I felt like I needed to justify it. It's almost like a legalistic way of participating in these good gifts rather than just trusting God and enjoying it. And so that was what I was doing as God was revealing my heart. And I realized the struggle that I was going through to just get on my bike and ride.
Yeah. You know, it is, for me, it's an act of worship just because I've had health issues in the past, and to get on a bike and ride fast and have one earbud in so worship music is on and the sun is beating down and whirring, you know, whirling by the trees, and it is absolutely so amazing. And yet I totally get the idea, and I've done this too where I've ridden for a cause, but I like the conversation, Trilia, because underneath so much of the good things God gives us, we either ignore them or we attach something to them because we can't just take them free and clear. And I feel like for me, it helps me to make the distinction between obligation and invitation. Whenever I attach obligation to it versus God just inviting me to it, there's a weightiness to it that's not good. It pulls me down. So how have you learned to just navigate those waters where if God invites you to it, you're all there. But if he's not inviting you to it, you're not going to put this self-motivated obligation on yourself.
Yeah. So what I feel like what we do is we just guilt ourselves. And obligation, Scripture speaks of that. If we feel obligated to do something, then really, in a lot of ways, there's a legalistic, we feel like we have to earn God's favor, for example, or we have to earn the right to rest, or we have to earn, and nothing that we've been given has been given because we earn it. It's all a free gift. It's a free gift from the Lord. And so for me to fight it, I have to fight for true thoughts and realize, for example, with the cycling, is that I need rest. Exercise is good, and so I can fight these false ideas of guilt and these daggers that are in my mind, and replace them with true thoughts of God's character, that he loves us, he delights in us, and he delights in giving his children good gifts. That's Scripture, and every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And so I have to remind myself of the truth of God's word and then just relax and enjoy and delight. And it's a fight, though.
Yeah.
And so that, but it takes effort.
Yeah. Well, you heard my opening questions, and I know you care deeply about injustices and suffering in the world, as we should, and we're called to carry one another's burdens. But it does seem, Trilia, that we default to one of these two extremes. We either ignore the sufferings of others, which I think is even to our own soul's detriment because we're created to be sharing the burden, or we ignore the blessings of God in our lives. So both of those are a form of being inoculated from the whole purpose that God has invited us to. So speak to these extremes, ignoring the sufferings of others or ignoring the blessings of God in our lives.
Sure. I'll start with ignoring the sufferings. We are called to mourn and to weep with those who weep and mourn. And there is a time and a place for that. And for us to ignore, I think, is really not the heart of Jesus. And so we want to ask God to give us a heart that loves people. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we don't want to ignore the pain and suffering of this world. We need to face it. And we're also called to comfort with the comfort we've received. So when I see someone in pain, most of us know some sort of pain. Not all of us, but most of us do. And if you don't, we will. And so we want to comfort and love and serve. And so we really want to have eyes to see people made in the image of God and care and love them. And at the same time, when we receive something and we don't we feel this guilt and weight, and there's two things that's possibly going on. One is that it could really be that we're just not grateful, that we are apathetic to the gifts. We've become so used to eating, for example, our 3, 4, 5 meals a day, that we forget that it's a gift. And so it may not even be that we feel guilty. It's that we just forget to acknowledge the giver at all. Mm. And so we want to remember that when we bite into a beautiful strawberry, it is created by God, and it's delicious, and it's a foretaste of the perfect feast that we're gonna get to experience one day, and thank God for it.
Indeed.
But we also, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry about that. I'm just totally agreeing and relating.
Amen. Yes, amen. And we also, with that, we want to make sure that, we want to make sure that if we are feeling guilty, we can turn, again, that guilt into praise. Lord, I don't deserve this, but you have given me this, and so I thank you for it, Lord. Help me not to take this beautiful gift for granted. So instead of feeling guilt, turn it to praise and thank God for it. So either way, we need to be thanking. So I think we don't want to ignore in any way the sufferings of this world. We need to be engaged in it. And yet we also want to thank our Lord and Savior for the good gifts that he's given us.
And that's really the rub. It's learning to live in that tension of entering into suffering that's not our own when it's required and called of us. And I just think we each carry a portion of God's burden, so he shows us how and when to do that. But it's that, and then also enjoying a belly laugh, you know, stopping at a lemonade stand, jumping off of a cliff into the water and, you know, laughing the whole time. I mean, he created a really beautiful world. And I think sometimes we find it hyper-spiritual. We think ourselves too spiritual to enjoy these childlike things, but they're gifts from God, and I think we'll regret it if we don't enter in fully, you know?
Absolutely. I think of my children. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I watch them. And one day I realized that I can hurry their delight. So we're walking around in the zoo, for example, and they're wanting to hear these howling monkeys. I can't think of what they're called, but they just scream. These monkeys scream, and they're wanting to just sit it feels like hours, but it's more like 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, let's move on to the next. And what I love about children is that they aren't in a hurry. They will look at a snail and watch the snail slowly walk or scoot by. They admire things, and they sit, and they look, and they delight. And I want to be more like that. And that it's true. I think as we become adults, there is a sense of there is a seriousness. We see the weight of the world, but yet we want to be able to have eyes to see like children, faith like children, to see this beautiful world that God has created, and slow down.
Indeed. I've always thought that both rest and play are acts of faith. You know, you're engaging your faith because it really says, you know what, more rests on God's shoulder than on mine. And he calls me to play. He calls me to rest. We're going to talk about those two aspects of enjoying and finding the freedom to delight daily in God's good gifts. It's good for your soul. It's good for your cells. This is why I love Trillia's book. We've got 5 copies. Love to get a copy in your hands. If it's just time for you to slow down and start tasting your food, you want a copy of this book. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Your name will go on a drawing. 5 of you will get a copy. We'll be back in a minute. You know, we live in a time of a chaotic culture, a lot of crisis around us. Things seem to be imploding every which way we turn. You turn on the news and your gut ties into knots. So do you still think that God's desire for you is to delight in him, to enjoy the good gifts that he's provided? It absolutely is. So what if you took a little bit of less stress and chaos? I mean, take the news maybe in bits and pieces, but stop and taste your food. Notice when your child belly laughs and just enjoy your child, you know? Take a walk outside and just let the warmth of the sun hit your face, because all of these things are good gifts from a father who loves you, and it's good for our souls. It really is. It's good for our health and our perspective. This is why I love Trillia's book, Trillia Newbell. Maybe you've heard of her. Title of her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. We've got 5 copies. Would love to get your name in the drawing. Susie at myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address, please. Okay, Trillia, you write this. Because of the fall, our approach toward enjoyment seems to fall into 2 categories. Either you and I are fully engaged in hedonistically pursuing our joy and fulfillment in the things of this earth, or we fear that anything we take joy in is ultimately sinful and selfish. We live either as if the world were our playground and everything is ultimately about us and our fulfillment, or as if we're wasting precious time if not engaged in serious pursuits. Boy, you identified that. You hit the nail on the head. You even see that in the church, I would say. Say more about those 2 extremes.
Sure. So really, the first one is idolatry. What we will do often is we will take good gifts, and they rule us. And they will, if we don't receive something, we can become despondent, depressed, discouraged, angry even. Or we can live for this world and think, this is it. This is all there is, and I'm just going to give it, just lay it all here, and this is it. And so or we can go in the other extreme, and we can feel this guilt that we have talked about already, and fear. We take ourselves a little too seriously, and fear delighting and enjoying. And so I think that we fall into these 2 categories. I would say that we probably fall more in the idolatry, where we will be upset or frustrated if we don't receive something. I say that timidly, because then again, we're also serious, and I think that's part of it. So, for example, work is a good place. Some people live for work. All you do is work. You can't. It's hard to stop thinking about work. Rest is incredibly difficult, and I think sometimes work can be a ruler in our hearts. It can lead us to despondency, discouragement if we don't get that thing checked off. Even moms, we can be like that. If we don't get our checklist knocked off, it can be really, really difficult. And so it can reveal itself as an idol, where work instead is meant to be a delight. We can enjoy our work. We are created, and we get to create as the created. And so I think that so we have to work to enjoy our task that God has given us. It's instead of idolizing them and making them out to worship. I'll give you a really practical example. Sometimes when I am done for the day, I can sit there, and I'll be sitting there with my family, and I'm staring off into space, and my daughter will look at me, and she'll say, Mom, 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 and I don't hear her. And it's because my mind is somewhere else. I'm not resting. And so I can't enjoy my family time because my idol is taking over my mind. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And as you're talking, it never occurred to me, but I'm seeing these 2 as very connected, as far as, I would say, in epidemic proportions in the church, where we have our idol and we feed it so strongly that we take ourselves so seriously not to enjoy the gifts. You know what I'm saying? Where I used to think it was one or the other, but I really see them both as so connected, because it's like, if we're working so hard, we feel like we should be able to have whatever enjoyment we want, and we can't seem to break free from that. And the only spiritual thing in then is to feed the idol. I know that sounds kind of inverted, but I really think those 2 are very, very connected, because if we stop taking ourselves so seriously, maybe take God more seriously, we would start to see ourselves as living in more of a free space where we're free to follow him, free to serve him, free to rest and play, but we have a holy fear that he's our one true God. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So that, yeah, I think so. For example, with the work, it is. It's a gift, but when we idolize it and we don't ever stop working, then it's a curse. It becomes a curse rather than this gift that God has given. And so we can do that with relationships, with people. People, friendships are a gift. In the church, if Satan wants to attack anything, it's going to be relationships. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but yet we wrestle so often with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so our relationships can become an idol. And if we don't receive what we want from these relationships, we get bitter, jealous, angry, instead of delighting and enjoying one another. And so I think that absolutely with everything that God has given us, there is a battle. There's a battle to actually enjoy and delight in it rather than idolize it and to find that freedom to do so, because we have a fear that if we rest, for example, then we're not getting – there's something that we're not doing. Well, yes, there is. That means – but we are the only things, we're the only people, we need to rest. Only God doesn't need to rest, but yet he even rested.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and so I think that we just need to realize that these are good things that the Lord has given us that we need. We need rest, and we can enjoy rest, we can enjoy play, we can enjoy work, but everything's twisted because of the fall, because of this sin, these two things that are battling against one another, our idol or our fear. And I think they battle, and we have to ask God for freedom so that we can enjoy them.
So true. And, you know, we are so addicted to productivity that, again, we may not have the faith to play or to rest because we're thinking that's not producing. But if I can just speak to that, if that's you, yes, it is. Rest is forward moving progress, and so is play, because it does something for your body and your soul. And again, it engages your faith. I challenge you to think about it that way. Talking to Trillia Newbell, title of her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. If you've got questions, you can email me. And if you want in on the drawing, we've got 5 copies. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you got a question for Trillia, include that as well. We'll be back here in a minute. Tell you, if you're just kind of bogged down by life, you got to put on Ren Collective. They represent defiant joy. I'm telling you what, they just throw their arms in the air and they just determine that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. I've been listening to them on repeat these days. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Trillia Newbell about her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. She asks the question, have you struggled with whether it's okay to enjoy something in your life, such as maintaining a flower garden or sitting down to read a book or dancing with your spouse? You know, we really do have to get to the bottom, Trillia, of why we feel so guilty. I know you talked about fear, but I feel like if we diminish these precious gifts from God and we just sort of drive right through them and keep working, we're going to take a break somehow, some way, and probably won't be in a way that nourishes our soul. Like we'll waste hours watching TV because you got to eventually take a break. So I want you to talk about why it's not only important to do this, but to identify what actually nourishes your soul.
Yeah, that's great. A lot of people today are We get on social media and we think, okay, I'm going to scroll. We fill our times. We have fillers. And so I think it's really wise and maybe thoughtful if we sit down and think, what actually is good for my soul and what would be of benefit? I do think that often we do fillers or like TV and we'll spend hours. But things like reading a book or taking a walk or spending time with your spouse, whatever you think, okay, this is actually going to benefit my soul. I think we want to try to pursue that rather than fillers. And it just makes it more intentional and fun to think, okay, on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, I'm going to make sure that I spend that afternoon on a walk, and I'm going to be undistracted by social media. I keep talking about social media because I think it's one of those joys and curses because it's so distracting, and it's a filler that a lot of people are engaged in right now. But I think intentionality isn't a bad thing. It doesn't take away from the gift. I think it just helps us to enjoy it even in a greater ways, because we know we can anticipate that we are going to rest, or we are going to sit down at dinner and we're going to throw our phones to the side and we're just going to be at dinner with our family and engage in conversation and look at each other in the eye and talk and savor our food. And so I think it's good for us to really think through what is it that we enjoy, and to do that, one of the things that I think a lot of people try to do is try to do what other people do. So we talked about how we like to cycle. For some of your listeners, they might be thinking, no. That's miserable. And I say to you, amen. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do what our rest. Do your rest. What do you enjoy? What makes you happy and happy in the Lord? And brings delight into your heart. Do that. Don't try to take on other people's rest. And so for some people, a nap is what they need. Okay, well, God, yeah, sleep. Take that nap if and when possible. So absolutely. I think that being intentional is a good and wise thing to do, so that we're thoughtful in how we spend our time.
Yeah, I've got some friends who are gardeners, and they just say they meet Jesus out in the garden, because there's so many spiritual laws to just planting and to life bursting and to weeding. And my hubby, he's on the side. He just loves craftsmanship with wood, you know. And one of his favorite things is to get one of his sons out in the garage, and they're building things together and, you know, bonding, and makes him so happy. And you and I, we like the cycle. But I love that, because God has made us so each unique. And I think if we over spiritualize what we should like to do with our time, we're going to miss just how God is just, he just lavishes detail on the earth and in it, in the hearts of his people. He went to great lengths to make us unique, didn't he?
Absolutely. He created us, each and every person, created in the image of God. And then he's given us, so we all can reflect aspects of him to bring him glory. And then he's given us all various gifts and interests and personalities and likes and joys. And he does not ask us to be like every single other person. And so I think if we can begin to think this way, what more joy does it bring to our cup of coffee when we realize that God created I don't know much about coffee, but the beans. and then someone, I'm assuming, picks a bean, and then it travels and someone grinds this and they are creating. How much joy does that bring to, as we think through the process it takes? I am not a gardener, but boy, do I love vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
To think that someone planted those vegetables and then they picked them and shipped them, but ultimately God created them, and he is our creator God, and he has dominion over all the earth, and then he's given us dominion over it. And what is man that he's mindful of them? Yet he is.
Yeah.
And so we can thank him for this. This is amazing, what he has done and his and how he allows us to be a part of this creation that he has made. Yes, absolutely. So I think there's so much that we can delight and find joy in that he has done.
So, Trulia, how has that impacted your life? I mean, I know you're a multitasking woman and you've got a lot to do, but when you've made it a point to stop and slow down and taste your food and notice the sunshine in the sky or the wind blowing through the leaves on the tree, what's it done for you?
There's a few things. I think when I stop and just enjoy, if there's a peace in that the Lord gives. He brings peace when we aren't anxious about tomorrow, right? He tells us not to worry, to trust Him, that He's the provider. And so there's something that about just sitting and enjoying that brings peace. It also helps me to be dependent on God. Mm. When I realize I can't do it all, I have to sit. I just can't. I can't do it all. I must rest. It's good for me to recognize my weakness. And in my weakness, then I'm strong. That's what God says in His Word. And so as I rest, I realize my dependence on the Lord. And then it really, I think it's helped in particular in my relationships with my family. As I was going through writing this book, I wasn't writing this book as someone who had arrived. I was writing it as someone who needed help. How do I enjoy? And so as I was thinking through, and as it's our family time is less me thinking of various tasks, but me just enjoying that time and thinking of my children and engaging and looking them in the eye. So I think there's loads of benefits to recognizing our limitations, to enjoying what He has given, just to delighting in the Lord ultimately, and sitting and resting in Him. It really does bring a peace that transcends, I believe, understanding.
Mm. Well, talk a bit, if you would, about the Enjoy Project.
Yes. Okay, so the Enjoy Project, at the end of each chapter, is just a special section where I encourage us to take our faith and put it into action. Often with books, I read a lot of books, so often with books, you read it, you put it down, you don't see it again. And so what I'm encouraging us to do is to read it and then to put it into work, to action. And enjoyment, it would be easy to read this and to maybe nod our heads and say, yes, amen. But really, it takes a step of faith to enjoy and to delight. And so at the end of each chapter, there's about 7 to 8 practical ways that I encourage us to enjoy and to delight. And I just want to say one thing real quick. Do we have a minute?
You bet. Mm-hmm.
I also just wanted to say, I am not sharing these things as someone who has not suffered. I think that's really important it was important for me to note in the book, but it's also, I think, important as people hear and think about joy. I am talking as someone who's learned to be sorrowful yet always rejoicing. I think I've experienced 4 miscarriages, the death of my father and my oldest sister, and various other trials, and the Lord has helped me to learn to be sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And I really want to make that point because I can imagine there's people out here who thinks, yes, I would love to do the Enjoy Project. I'd love to go out and practically enjoy, but I am deep in sorrow right now. And I am weeping, and I am terribly sad. I can't get out of bed. And I believe that the Lord has a word for you to be encouraged, and not that he relates to our suffering, and there's time for weeping, and the Psalms are filled with lamenting. And so this isn't a pull up your bootstraps and go, you know, party with the Lord. It's more of a, okay, God, He's given us Himself, and we don't have to put on fake joy. He's given us real joy, lasting joy, eternal joy. And I just wanted to just make that clear for those who might be sorrowful, that there's a time for that. And please, I pray that the Lord will meet you in your sorrows and that you would know He is near to the brokenhearted.
I'm really glad you said that, and I could tell by just your heart and your writing that you weren't at all saying this is just a shallow surface, you know, buck up, buttercup kind of thing at all. But I'm so glad you said that, because on this earth, as we travel to the most holy land when the Lord takes us home again, joy and sorrow are going to be hand in hand. They're going to be, you know, dual presences, I think, in our lives. But, you know, I feel like what you're saying is, even for the most sorrowful soul, this is one of those recipes to finding your way back to joy again. Because when you're sorrowful, you can just get inoculated to the things that are going on in your life, the things that are still happening that are blessings. And, you know, I mean, even science proves that getting to that place of joy and gratitude is one of the best restorers of your neural pathways in your brain. Like when you find something for which you're very sincerely grateful for, just spending time pondering that and thanking God for it and actually enjoying it a little bit more brings healing to your whole thought process. So it is a profound spiritual proposition, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we want to give thanks. There is something about thanking the Lord that helps us, and gratitude that helps us rightly think about the Lord and ourselves, and but ultimately about His good gifts. I definitely think that there's a uniqueness to gratitude, and that's why He calls us to give thanks and to rejoice always.
So Trilia has this book. This book she kind of divides up to different ways to enjoy, to the gift of one another, enjoying community, enjoying your job, enjoying rest. So we'll talk about a couple of those with this last segment. We've got 5 copies of Trilia's book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. Email if you just need a fresh look upward. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Trilia Newbell about her book, Enjoy, Finding the Freedom to Delight Daily in God's Good Gifts. And we've been talking about just untangling from the legalism so that you can actually stop and enjoy a lemonade stand or a belly laugh or cliff jumping with a friend or a nap in your hammock or a good book, and why we feel the need to spiritualize our time to such a degree as if God doesn't want those things for us. He absolutely does. And let's talk for a moment about the gift of one another and how to enjoy each other. I want to read this little excerpt and have you speak to it, Trilia. You're right. No strategies will completely cause us to be free of relationship strife. We need Jesus. We also want to put our faith in action. So we try, knowing we will make mistakes and that God's grace is essential in this quest. Part of this enjoyment is learning what it means to glorify God in our relationships, and part of glorifying God is acknowledging our desperate need for Him. Again, this is maybe why people pull back from enjoying, is because I've tried it, I got hurt, I have to walk carefully, so there's not joy, there's fear. So speak to the idea of the gift of one another and what it means to enjoy that gift.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't remember the exact quote, but C.S. Lewis, there's something that love is, it takes a risk, mm-hmm. and there's danger almost in it, because we're people, and we struggle with sin, and we hurt people, and we can be unkind to people, so there's a risk, but it's a risk that is worth it. Jesus, and I'm going to talk specifically about the church, He died for the church, and the church is made up of people. So there is a risk in relationships. There's a risk, but it's worth it because Jesus died for people. And so we want to press into those relationships and trust the Lord as we work through it. But yes, we want to also acknowledge that there's fear. There's fear there, fear that people will get hurt. But God calls us to love Him with all our hearts, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so there is a call there that we should love, and we love not only those who love us back, but love our enemies. There's a radical call to love and to serve those who even aren't our friends. So there's this risk, but it's a risk that is worth it, especially to a broken world. If we could show the unity of the Spirit to a broken world, to a world right now that's so divided, what a testimony of the Lord that is. And so that's something that I pray for relationships, that we can be unified and forgive and to grow in love for one another, so that we can really testify to a broken world that Jesus is real, and that he unifies, that he's torn the veil of hostility. It's been broken down in his body, and there can be a church that's unified, and relationships can be built because of this awesome Savior.
So I want to make this application in the Enjoy Project. So as you said, at the back of each of these chapters, you give some application. I'd love for you just to speak to each of these, if we can squeeze at least a few in before the end of the show. So as far as putting our feet, faith to our footwork here, pray for someone who's offended you or who's been difficult to enjoy. List some of the ways God has gifted that individual for his glory. That's fantastic. First of all, pray for them if they've offended you, but then list some ways that God has gifted them. Say a word about that if you would.
Yeah, I really do believe that encouragement fights against bitterness, and it fights against anger. If we can look at someone and see, okay, this is how God has created them uniquely, and here are their gifts, it changes. It helps us to put off our anger and our bitterness and to put on love. And so it changes everything about how we engage with someone. And it helps change our thoughts. And it helps us to practically love the person. So what I do when I am, if I find myself upset, is first pray. Doesn't it? It just changes your heart, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you pray to the Lord and we speak truth about who someone is to God, it changes our heart. And then, list out, okay, how is this person a blessing? How are they encouraging? What are their gifts? And to help put on true thoughts rather than dwelling on things that really aren't honorable.
Excellent. Okay, find a new way to encourage someone close to you, such as writing a note, calling just to express your appreciation for the specific ways that person is a gift of God for you.
Yes, I love to try to encourage, and there's a difference between encouragement and flattery. Mm-hmm. So encouragement is really specific, and it's about the Lord, really. It's if we look, and I would say, okay, Susie, she is gifted in the encouragement. She loves to, she wants to promote others. She's thinking of others above herself, so she has them on her show. So this is something that's a very specific encouragement, rather than just, oh, you've got great hair. So I think we want to think really specifically and encourage someone and write them a note or give them a call. I think so often we want to look like we have it together or we're strong, but every single person needs encouragement. And God says that we need to encourage one another. It's all throughout the scriptures. You see all these one another's, they call them. And so what a great practical way to love our neighbor as ourselves is to write a little note.
And you know, scripture says when you refresh others, you yourself are refreshed. And it's just part of the DNA of giving that God has put in our hearts. So it's like to reach out and do something for somebody. It does something in your own perspective, in your own day, because we're made for it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we can encourage other people, I just think it takes our eyes off ourselves, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we are thinking about others, then we're thinking less of ourselves. And if we can think less of ourselves, And I'm not saying think less as in think poorly of ourselves. I'm saying think of ourselves less and think of others more. What joy and delight that will bring as we're thinking on the good things and thinking on true things and honorable things and serving others and loving others with our lips and with our letting our tongues be that of encouragement instead of discouragement, which is so hard if you're angry or bitter. I've been there, done that. It's a horrible thing. And so to press in and ask God to have his eyes really for people, what a difference that makes. And yes, I'm refreshed, absolutely, when I'm thinking on things that are true.
Yeah. So one more point here, I think, before we wrap and pray, is you say in this chapter, too, to preach the gospel to yourself. I'd love for you to speak to that. And even the whole idea of eternity when it comes to delighting in the things of God now, preaching the gospel to yourself. Say a word about that.
Yes, I believe I heard this probably first from Jerry Bridges, but you want to preach the gospel to yourself because every morning when we wake up, there are daggers and lies, and we forget the gospel. But we need to remind ourselves that God is holy and awesome, that Jesus, he sent his son. Jesus walked a perfect life that we could never walk. He walked it, that he died. He bore the wrath that we deserve. He's risen, and he's interceding for us now. We need to remind ourselves of these truths because we need God. We need to remind ourselves so that we know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to remind ourselves so that when we fail, because we're going to fail, that we can receive grace and mercy and help in our time of need. So it is really essential, I think, to preach the gospel to ourselves as we are dealing and walking our daily walk, and it's not just helpful, it's essential. And then we fix our eyes on eternity. We are living and breathing and waiting for the time when all things will be made new, and he's coming back. And if we can fix our eyes on eternity, then we can wait with gladness because we know he's coming, and all sorrows will be wiped away. We will be rejoicing forever, ever. Every tribe, tongue, and nation will be worshiping together. What a beautiful picture. And so as we wait, we want to eagerly wait. And it says that even creation is moaning and groaning. We're waiting. But we want to fix our eyes on eternity as we're delighting and enjoying and thanking God for these little foretastes of the joy that we will receive and be an experience forever, forevermore.
And what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us later. And that just keeps our eyes upward. Truly, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person as they're listening, realizing that they've stopped enjoying life at all because of hardship and sorrow. Would you pray for that person?
Yes. Lord, I pray right now. You know his or her name. You know her sorrows. You know their heart. God, I pray that you would help them to fix their eyes on you, the author and perfecter of their faith. God, I pray that they would know you, that they would delight in you, that they would cry out to you. And God, I pray for freedom, freedom to enjoy, freedom to delight, that you would give them one thing, just one thing to rejoice in, God. And if that one thing is you, that's more than enough. So, Lord, I pray that you would help them in their sorrows and bring them great joy, joy that transcends understanding, peace that transcends understanding, and that they would rest in you and your finished work. God, remind them of the gospel. And Jesus, thank you that you are interceding now for your own.
Amen. Truly, yes, so wonderful to meet you, and I thank you for giving us your time today. What a great conversation.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear sister. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember, if you want in on the drawing for Trillia's book, we've got 5 copies to get into your hands. Email me, Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And then remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.